All right. Well, welcome back to another episode of The Sportsman. That is Joey Coldcuts. I'm the Big Ticket. And we're here again every Wednesday now. We're Wednesday guys.
Hump day guys.
That's who we are.
Hopefully, one would say we're enough just to kind of guide you through the middle of the week.
That's true. For
the few listeners that actually do listen.
We are the lighthouse. We're just guiding you into shore, into the end of this week. We're guiding you in. We're waving you in. Come on in.
We're a lighthouse in a remote town where there's very few people. You know, there's the odd sailor comes through.
Sure.
We guide them on in. I'd love to change that. I'd love to get a lot of people listening.
It's not much, but it's honest work.
The last couple of weeks have we been? I feel like it's growing a little bit. No,
I don't check them anymore. I mean, I let Anderson, Mr. Anderson does it. I mean, I don't. I mean, I assume he'll let us know if big things are coming. But
I know we have over 500 followers on Instagram now,
which is fantastic.
I mean, listen,
it's a start.
We didn't even have a page, so I mean, at the very least, we have something that people can go and watch.
And the young man fires on that page, too. I mean, he just whips up content.
Mr. Anderson is something else. I gotta say, this guy was a God-given. He was a gift from God. This 383 subscribers on YouTube. That's not bad.
No, it's right in line with 400 faithful. Although we get a lot of people just aren't subscribing. I know it's somewhere
we
in
need
the
people to subscribe. Listen, I think what we should start doing. What do you think, too? We need to start doing a Q&A section, but only if you comment and you subscribe, we'll take your questions.
I like that a lot. Send your questions
into the channel, into the episode.
Send your questions via the Instagram page, and Mr. Anderson will vet that, and he will take the questions from the people that are subscribed and follow the Instagram page, and we will feature that on the end of our shows. Now that football is going away, that'll be how we can wrap shit up. But speaking of Mr. Anderson, we have been getting this beautiful little rundown of everything that's going on in sports. Cause me and you are a couple busy guys. We do our best and we watch as much as we can, but, this rundown is nice. Have you looked at it?
I looked through it and it's very golf heavy, which I love. And I think starting right out of the gates, I mean, we'll go to the football in a second cause we big congratulations are in order. But aside from that, this was a huge week for the boys from a golf perspective. Right. Torrey Pines last week, Saturday final round. We had both of our guys from Bob to Sports, Max Homa, Keegan Bradley, finish 1-2. They put on an absolute show. It was wild ticket. I DM'd Homa the night before. And me, I didn't realize that they were finishing on the Saturday. I thought that the last round was on Sunday. So it's just like, oh, knock them dead this weekend. You're gonna have a big weekend. And he says, thanks. And then he goes on the next day and wins. I had no idea. And I'm watching. I'm like, dude, he's going to win this fucking thing. Sure enough, he came through. And Keegan Bradley was also exceptional. His caddy, Scotty Vale, was wearing the Have a Day hat, which was great. We had the camera angles on that. Just a huge, huge win for Bob to Sports for this Farmers Insurance Open with those guys just putting on a light show.
Yeah, big day, no doubt about that. But this Max Homa, man, he is in a groove of all grooves right now. This guy, and when you watch him too, it's like it's everything's so consistent. Everything. There's no part of his game that needs to pick up another side of his game that's failing him at the moment. Everything from the putting to the chipping to his irons in the middle of the fairway, off the tee, the fairway woods, everything is going smooth for the young man. And you got to say, what did he do that everyone else hasn't done outside of Keegan Bradley, who finished in second? It came on Bob Does Sports. So let that be a lesson out there. You want to get better at golf outside of Joey Coldcuts? Come on the show.
That's an easy task. Very easy. Speaking of another golf situation, this time not so good. Did you see the whole Patrick Reed, Rory McIlroy, T-Gate thing that they were showing?
Yeah.
Do you think that was just totally blown out of proportion? Do you think that merited like some kind of response? I thought it was blown up.
Did you see the video? Did you see? He didn't even fucking come close to hitting him.
It was like 2 feet short of him.
But also, it's just like, these are the antics that happen. I mean, those guys don't like each other, so it wasn't probably being goofy. But still, these meaningless little things happen all the time. And in the world we live in now, there's just a million fucking cameras, and everyone's got their phones out, so everything's getting captured. If you think no other golfer has ever flipped the tee at somebody, you're sorely mistaken. And on top of that, though, I totally get Rory. Like, first of all, Patrick Reed, when he was still with the PGA, everyone fucking hated him. The fans,
total
the players.
Bitch. He's a total bitch.
He's a total bitch. And so he probably didn't want to talk to him because, number one, he just doesn't like the guy, because no one does. And number two, he's like, you fucking left for Liv. I don't have anything to say to you. And that's basically what went down. And then, you know, I guess he got a little ticked off, flipped the tee. And, you know, I have a better shot at hitting a 40-year-old field goal than that guy does of hitting Rory McIlroy with a tee.
Well, accordingly to you, that's really good odds.
Yeah, but like, according to you, you know.
Well, according to reality.
You don't know what reality is. We haven't seen it.
We do need to do this. We've been saying that you were going to kick this fucking field goal since week one, episode one of Sportsman, which
right.
is like, to me, feels like, you know, 17 BC.
Yeah.
Feels like. Yeah.
It's true. And like hopefully one day. Dude, when we were on the Bob Does Sports podcast and we talked about that, the next day after the release of that podcast, I had like 15 kicking coaches in my DMs. Like, you need a guy? You need a guy to help you kick that field goal? I'm your guy.
Well, you know, Hecker is a member of Bob Does Sports. You know,
he's a punter.
He's part of the movement.
He's a punter, though.
Oh, he's a punter. Don't they have do some teams have punters and kickers that share responsibilities, or is it always completely?
Well, like, I think Janikowski for the Raiders, I think he did both. And I think a lot of them can. I think you grow up doing both, but then you specialize in the NFL. But there's a few guys that do both. But Janikowski, anyway, wrapping up that whole Patrick Reed thing, I mean, I don't even know why. What did he initially do way back in the day that made everyone hate him? Why is he so unliked?
I don't really know. Had that incident where he was in the bunker and he moved the ball and he cheated. Man. And then he's just kind of like that. He's like a gnat. You know what I mean? Like, sure. He's harmless, but he's just annoying as fuck. And nobody can really handle him. You know what I mean? So he's not liked to begin with. And then he gave Rory, his lawyer sent Rory a subpoena to his door on Christmas Eve, indicating that he was suing him. I don't know if it's defamation of character or some co-conspiracy to try to shut down. Like, this guy is nuts. He's nuts. So, I mean, I get it. But at the same time, like, let's be honest, the tee was nowhere near hit Rory.
Yeah, no, not even close. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But moving on to another golf subject, this is my favorite story of the week, is that LIV Golf signed a huge TV deal with the CW Network. You like that channel?
What channel is CW? I don't even know what CW Network is.
Yeah, you like that channel, don't you? One Tree Hill, The Flash. No. Every cheesy fucking show that's ever been made goes on the CW. And now LIV Golf. That is where LIV Golf lives. And it's, are you pounding a White Claw? Is that what you're doing?
Celsius.
Oh, Celsius. Fantastic. Fantastic sports drink. But it's like the CW. That is such a strange move. It's owned by WB, so it's a Warner Brothers product. Just strange.
I can't tell you the last time I even tuned into that network. I had to do a double take. I was like, what do they even show? I had no idea.
They show, I told you, like One Tree Hill, like the shittiest TV shows of all. Remember that show like 15 years ago, Greek Life or whatever? It was like that show was on there. It's like ABC Family, but Warner Brothers version. It stinks. Are you going to be watching? Do you think you'll tune into some of these events?
No.
You're not going to watch any of them.
I don't have time to watch LIV Golf. I barely have time to watch PGA. And that being said, I thoroughly enjoy watching the PGA, especially if it's a final. No, I ain't watching LIV Golf. I saw they had like some deals with like Singapore, Finland, and something else. And I've seen snippets of like the scoreboard. It looks terrible. It looks really bad the whole way that they did it. Maybe they'll change it around. I don't know. But Greg Norman's just trying to figure something out. I don't know. I can't imagine LIV Golf is going to be successful for the next 5 years.
I mean, they threw out a fuckload of money, man. You got to, it's like, And it's interesting. I'm just saying,
I think it's going to lose any allure. I don't even think it's got a ton of allure to begin with right now. Like, if Liv was coming to town, would you, like, jump the gun to be like, I got to go watch the Liv tour?
No. They have a lot of interesting players. They got DJ. They got Brooks. They got a lot of guys that would be interesting.
Cam Smith was a big addition.
Cam Smith, big fan of his. Just fun player to watch. But I don't think I'm going. I don't think I'm going to any events.
Good for them, though. We're happy for them.
Now, if they want to pay me to go, I'll go to every single one. I'll go to everyone.
Liv Gold, the official new sponsor of the Sportsman.
I got to tell you, I love this sport, man. They're taking golf to the next level.
You want to talk about innovation and changing the game of golf? You want to talk Liv? Let's talk right here, right now on the Sportsman. Liv Golf, if you're listening, our pockets are open. By the way, before we go to football, I think football is our major topic because it's just, we got to talk about it. Big trade in the Canucks organization yesterday. Did you see this?
No, I'm totally tuned out on hockey right now.
I know you are.
Is the team good right now? Are you guys good? Or?
Oh, no, we are.
Dog shit, as always.
I mean, not dog. I mean, it's just, so big trade. The Islanders got our captain, Bo Horvat, putting up an unbelievable year this year. Could score 40-plus goals. I think he's had, in 49 games, he's tied his career high with 31 goals already. So he's having a hell of a season, but he's a free agent at the end of the year. And honestly, he's going to be getting paid a fortune, which we can't afford. So they traded him for Beauvillier, which I think is a great player. And they got some trade and another player too. Who's the other guy? Obviously he's not that good. I mean,
but as a Canucks fan, are you excited about that though?
Well, we got a first round pick and we got Beauvillier, which is a good player. So, I mean, like, we got something for Horvat instead of having him walk and not get anything. And I think that's what this team needs to build on the future. I mean, They fired the coach, Bruce Boudreau, two, 3 weeks ago. This is the kind of stuff that I like. No, but it's good. They got to focus on regrouping. They got to
remember how excited we were last year when they hired him and like they won the first 13 games?
I think we were singing Bruce, there it is. Yeah.
Bruce, there it is.
Bruce, there it was because he's come and gone.
And less than a year later, I mean, you're excited he's gone.
It's sad, man. It just shows it's really hard to build a championship winning team, you know, and it might take, you know, a decade sometimes. You need to get the right players and the right coach and the right nucleus, which, speaking of, there is a nucleus of young men who really, really look poised to hoist another Super Bowl. And that is the young man wearing the green in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Those Philadelphia Eagles ticket, you are in the Super Bowl, man.
It's pretty exciting, man.
Good.
Pretty exciting. It feels great.
I messaged ticket on Sunday. I said, how does it feel? And all I got is, unfucking believable. Like, this is the guy who's feeling it.
I was
like,
speechless, man. It was, I mean, you know, you hate to win like that. I will say, I mean, we had their fucking defense on the ropes the whole game. So our offense looked great, but you know, this team had no quarterback. I mean, Brock Purdy got what? He got hurt like in the second play of the game or something. And
how hurt was he? You know, like, here's the thing. I know, he can't throw the ball, this and that. This is a kid who literally everything has fallen into place for him. Like, to the point where he could be the starting quarterback for the team next year. I have to think, like, even if your elbow is throbbing, you got to go out there at least one series and try to make a couple throws. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But, like, the fact that he got hit for that strip sack from that – what was his name? Reddick, which, by the way, that guy played.
Hassan Reddick. He's incredible.
That guy could have been the player of the game.
Yeah.
And he comes off – and, you know – I got slack from this from Perez in the group chat saying he can't throw, but it's like, come on, dog. Like, go out there at least one series. Try to make a throw downfield. If you legitimately can't throw a 20-yard pass downfield, then so be it. tell the coach, take me out. But like, this is the NFC Championship. You're 23 years old. You could maybe, you might never get a chance to be in the spotlight again. I thought after watching Mahomes grit it out on one leg last week with a high ankle sprain, and just to me, that was the epitome of a guy who wanted to win. And then watching Brock Purdy say, I can't go, I can't throw, and didn't even make an attempt. It was a little bit like, come on, dude. You know, this kid's soft. I could be totally out of line for saying that. Oh, your thoughts?
I mean, you got to imagine he was thrown on the sideline and he probably couldn't throw more than five yards. So he just thought he'd be a liability. But no one was a bigger liability than the guy who came in for him. Jermaine Johnson. That guy stinks. That guy.
By the way, you would think, like, after all the guys that they've had get knocked out, like, you had Trey Lance, he left. Then you had Garoppolo, he left. Then you have Purdy. Maybe you bring in a guy to be a four stringer in the event that this young kid gets smoked and is out of the game. And turns out, you know, even he, Jermaine.
Yeah, where's Josh McCown? Get him off a couch and get him in some pads, man. Have him ready to go.
Where's Baker Mayfield?
Oh, he's with the Rams.
Yeah, that's true. He might actually have himself a starting gig. But yeah, no, I thought the Eagles, I think you're right. They were the better team. Even if Purdy played, you could see it early and often. That defense ticket, they are coming for blood.
They're coming for that ass.
Yeah, and they're waxing that ass. I tell you, they look good from start to finish. I never felt there was a time where it's like, oh, this team can't win. There was a time where the offense got stagnant for a little while. But as soon as they started running the ball, like truly running the ball and committing to the run, it was over. It was game over. And I like what your coach is doing. He's kind of got that running back by committee going on. So you got Sanders going in there. Half the time they go out of the shotgun, so you could have a QB draw with Hurts and he can run. And then you got Gainwell, who looked great. And Boston Scott's like a little bowling ball. He looks good too. I tell you what, this team is stacked from start to finish. I loved what I saw out of the Eagles. You got to be thrilled.
I'm beyond thrilled. I mean, I'm the only thing that makes me nervous is that we've played two tune-up teams and we're about to play the best team that we've seen in weeks. But I'm thrilled. But I'm just saying that's one. You know, we've been playing Appalachian State while the Chiefs have been playing, you know, Michigan, you know, number one ranked Michigan.
Mahomes is hurt. Mahomes is definitely not 100%.
True. I mean, he started the game yesterday or 2 days ago and he looked pretty good, right? But then it started, something happened and he was hobbling like he was the week before. I don't know what happened.
Ankle sprain tick. I mean, that'll do it. That's an injury that normally takes between 2 and 4 weeks to get over. And he was on 8 days of rest. I mean,
well, now he has 2 weeks. I mean, what do you think?
I think he's going to be close. I don't think he's going to be 100%. By the way, you want to talk about a bang job? The Cincinnati Bengals, they got banged by the officiating in that game from start to finish. It was pretty bad to watch. And I thank God I had no stakes in the game. I had no bets. That game looked awful. They gave the Chiefs a fifth down. In like basically they gave him an extra down, and then on the after third down they called a penalty for defensive holding and gave him another first down. It was bad. There was a lot of bad calls in that game.
What do you think of the last the end one, the unnecessary roughness? That was a foul.
Listen, it was a penalty, but here's the thing: is at some point, like when you're calling terrible call after terrible call on a team, and they haven't gotten any breaks. Maybe you don't call that because that call basically solidifies the game. You know, yeah. I mean, it was absolutely a penalty. So you can't be like, oh, it was not a bad call. But it's like at that point, the calls all seem to go in favor of the Chiefs. So it's like I could totally understand if they didn't throw the flag on that. But kudos to the Chiefs, man. That's a team that game felt like it was getting away from them. Everything to me told me that as that game got later and later in the game, that the Bengals were going to drive and win the game.
Yeah.
It felt like it. And that was even with the calls. So like I lost my pick of the week again, but again, I feel like I had my hand on the pulse. I don't think the Bengals was a bad pick. I don't know. It's going to be a great Super Bowl.
I've been hot with my picks, by the way. I've been pretty hot.
I told you, you'd be posting on Big Ticket on the Instagram. You'd be doing well. You've been crushing it.
And I think I got to roll with what got me here. I mean, I think you have an idea of what I'm going to do for our picks here at the end of the show.
Well, we don't need to make a pick this week because the Super Bowl is not for 2 weeks. So I think what we do here is we hold off this week, and then for next week's episode, once we know all the details and the lines are more closely connected, I think that's a better time to get the pick.
I agree. So that's what we'll do. But do you know what the line is right now?
I don't. I'm not sure.
Eagles are favored. Yeah, by 1.5. It's pretty tight.
Yeah, it's almost an even game.
Pretty much.
How about another narrative? Is the two Kelce brothers going against each other in the Super Bowl?
Two Kelce brothers going up against each other, and also Andy Reid going up against his longtime old team. You know, there's a couple storylines here that are interesting to follow.
First time ever, both quarterbacks playing in the Super Bowl are black. That's cool to see.
I didn't hear that one. Is that true?
It's the first time in NFL history both starting quarterbacks on the team on both teams are African, American.
What an interesting stat. I didn't see that one around.
That's kind of cool.
It is. I just if I was a betting man, I would have said that's happened before. But I guess it makes sense.
I wish that we could find that clip of you last year towards the end of the year saying Jalen Hurts stinks and play it to you now when you're Super Bowl bound. You thought this team was going nowhere.
To my credit, last year he did stink. I mean, this has to be.
He was good until the playoffs.
He was okay. He couldn't throw. He could not throw. He was overthrowing everybody. It was bad. But have you ever seen a guy make so much progress from 1 year to the next? I mean, I've never seen anyone take a leap. Excuse me. The way that he has taken a leap, man, he went from, I won't even call him shitty, I'll just say average, maybe he's slightly below, but around average, to premier, man. He's a top five guy to me.
You got to be thrilled.
I'm thrilled. I mean, but have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, you better hope you see something like that, because it sounds like you got Jordan Love next year.
Yeah, let's not talk about Jordan Love. You were going into the season saying maybe Minshew was going to be the guy. I was like,
that's true.
This guy, this Jalen Hurts, is a good quarterback. And now, even I didn't think he would be this good. Like, he has made strides, man. He is a franchise quarterback. To the point where if he wins a Super Bowl for you this year, he could easily win you guys another one in the next 5 years. Easily.
Got to keep the pieces together. I mean, one thing is we will be losing Jason Kelce, and that's going to be massive. I mean, he's been our guy for like 20 years now.
He's unbelievable, man. He's so good. What really changed the whole dynamic of the offense is bringing A.J. Brown in. And it just proves my point again, being a Packers fan that is so disappointed year in and year out, this fucking team refusing to go out in free agency and bring in another premier guy. That's exactly what you guys did this last year. You guys were aggressive. You made moves at the trade deadline prior to the draft. You went all in. You got A.J. Brown. You made picks. And it shows, man, and it's so obvious that, like, without that guy this year, I don't think you're where you are right now.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, we give our GM, Howie Roseman, a lot of shit, but this last year, he stepped it the fuck up and made a shitload of great acquisitions. And we used to give him a lot of shit for drafting Jalen Hurts because we were like, what the fuck do we need another quarterback for at that time? Now it's turned out to be the fucking savior. I mean, saved us. We wouldn't be here without Jalen Hurts, but I agree with you. I think A.J. Brown is probably the biggest piece of them all because it just totally changed the way defenses have to play us. Now you have to respect both sides of the field. I mean, we've got dual weapons, man. And then, like you mentioned, our running game is phenomenal. I mean, we're just spreading them thin, man. We're spreading them way too thin.
Do you feel confident going into this that the Eagles will come out victorious?
I do.
Wow.
I do.
Now, what are we doing for the Super Bowl? Because we talked about this last week. Now the update is we're leaving Arizona early.
Yeah.
So we're going to be back in LA by the Saturday prior to the Super Bowl. Do we do the Super Bowl at Bob's house and everybody gets together, or are you like not wanting to watch the game with anyone?
I'm getting a Vito's pizza and I'm watching it by myself.
Oh,
or with my
on.
Girlfriend, you know,
it's
like
the Super Bowl.
I know, but it's the bird. If it was anyone else, I'd be right there. I'd be right there with you guys. But
I know, but don't you want to watch and celebrate with us while you win?
I mean, listen, I'll celebrate with, I'll have eight friends there. Eight slices of Vito's pizza. Okay. And maybe yes. Caesar salad.
You're still embracing that jolly stage, no? You're just...
Yeah, it's the fattest year of my life. I mean, you know what? I have actually, like, my body felt like such shit. I had to start going to the gym.
Oh, you went back?
Yeah, I went a couple times, and I'm starting to fall off again, but I got to go back to the gym. And my body just felt so bad, man. I will say, I've been editing the Taco Challenge, which is coming out on Thursday for Bob Does Sports. A little sneak peek. Taco Challenge. The boys eat 50 tacos. When I was editing it, I don't know if I'm like conditioned, but like hearing you guys bite into the tacos and hearing that crunch sound, I heard it so many times, like, I got to get Taco Bell. So I ordered 3 tacos today. I ordered the chicken quesadilla and a supreme burrito. And I ate it all. And I don't feel good now. I feel like I did before I went to the gym.
Well, is it chicken quesadilla, supreme burrito? What was the third one?
Three tacos.
Oh, you got 3 tacos.
3 supreme tacos.
Okay. I thought you were saying you had 3 things total. I was like, that's not bad. But now I realize you had 5 items.
No, it was, I was being now, quite.
Could you imagine how we felt? Imagine eating 15.
15. Is that what, well, let's not give anything away, but yeah, I can't imagine.
Well, no,
eating.
I'm saying that was basically our task. 50 divided by 3 is 15 each with 5 left over. So it's almost
true. 15
it's
tacos.
17 each.
I mean, no, I can't, dude. I was so.
Can you imagine that?
I wanted to know what the feeling was like. So I ate my 2 tacos first. Then I had everything else. And I was so full. I did not need that 3rd taco, nor did I want to eat it.
And imagine,
but
playing golf.
I wanted to know what it felt like to shove a taco down my face when I was so overly full, to have the idea of what you guys went through.
It's a terrible feeling.
It was uncomfortable. And all I had to do was sit here. I mean, you guys had to play golf. So.
And not only that, some of those tacos towards the end were like cold. And I got all my tacos supreme.
Yeah, which was a mistake, dog. That was a huge mistake that's on you. Well, since we're not going to do a pick this week, we'll leave that for next week for the Super Bowl. But there is one thing I wanted to run by you. If you've seen any of this slap stuff going on, these slap leagues, the slap championships.
Everybody's just trying to make a buck now. Now we got domesticated violence on television. It's unbelievable. Did you see the video clip that came out that one guy got knocked out cold?
Sure did.
His face was rearranged and he won $5,000.
Yeah, he looks like the Elephant Man. He does not look good. I mean, all in the name of $5,000 and an L.
Would you let one of those guys slap you for 5 G's?
No. Not for five. I would, you know what? I would take.
What about for 10?
Nope. I would take one of those slaps for nothing short of
25,000.
Probably 35, 40.
Whoa!
I need to really be able to upgrade my life.
You give me 25 G's for one of those slaps, I can handle one of those.
Did you see that guy's face?
Yeah, but that's the 1 in a million.
$10,000 is going to go into fixing your face. So now you're looking at $15,000.
Well, $15,000. I got face fine. I
love
tax season coming up, dude. It's tax season. I got to prepare for the tax man.
I love that their like technique is like, you know, if this is someone's face, they go.
No, and they put it right up against your. Right. This has got to be the scariest thing in the minute when they go like this and they just like they're getting ready, you know.
Yeah, it's like teasing. It's playing with your food. It's like teasing. It's like that anticipation leading up to
it's
it.
It's like that little.
It's almost worse. Yeah. But I don't know how this league has caught so much steam. And I'm trying to wonder, like, figure out what makes it so entertaining. Like, why do I like watching it?
It's owned by Dana White, no?
Is it just fun to see people get the shit slapped out of them?
I'm not tuning into this. I'm not watching this on a Friday night.
I mean, I'm not tuning in live, but I certainly watch a whole bunch of YouTube
videos.
This
is a fad. It's just like, remember the XFL or the what was the lingerie football league for women? Like, this is a fad. It'll be gone like a fart in the wind in fucking 1 year from now. It'll be gone. Somebody's going to be hospitalized and they'll get sued and the whole league will collapse.
Yeah. Well, I sure find it entertaining. And if it is around for just a year, what a fucking year it's going to be. All right, man. Well, I think that's all we got for today. Another pretty good one, man. I like that. That was a lot of fun. I like that we sort of diversified. We talked about a few other things, and it bodes well for the future outside of football here on the show. And again, just to reiterate, you know, if you want to subscribe and you want to follow the Instagram, shoot a question to the Instagram, and EA Anderson will sort of vet that and go through all that. And we will start a fan question segment at the end of each show to replace our sports picks.
It's also, I've seen a lot of messages or people saying, oh, I never, or people even DMing me saying, I never knew that this was a podcast and whatever. So great job to Mr. Anderson, just kind of getting us out. But if you enjoy the show and like you tune in regularly, you subscribe, you listen, like if you have a buddy out there that's looking for a podcast, I mean, you know what? Word of mouth spreads quickly. No tick. Like,
tell a
shout
friend.
Us out. Tell them that we got a little fun thing going on here. It's nothing serious. You know, we're not going to take 5 hours out of your life. We're going to shoot the shit. Maybe you have a little fun listening to us on your way to work or whatever it is. You know, spread the word. Let's grow this thing. I'd love to see this thing grow. You know, we're out there. We're moving. We got Mr. Anderson. We got a regular timeline now, Tick. I feel like this is as regimented as we've been in a while.
Sure is. Possibly ever.
I just don't want to upset Mr. Anderson at the end of the day. I don't want to let him down. The guy's sending us synopses and syllabuses to study before the show. I mean, this guy, you want to talk about, this guy is the cannon and he's just stuffing us in and firing us out. Like, he is the movement.
Yeah, if this show ever gets successful, it'll be in spite of us and because of him. It'll have nothing to do with me and you. It'll have everything to do with Mr. Anderson. But, all right. Well, that is another
one, though, man.
Yeah, it was a good one. And that is another episode of The Sportsman. That is Joey Coldcuts over there. I'm the Big Ticket on this side. And till next week, folks.